Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Folks, this is probably going to be an unpopular show with some of the fans. Because I find the necessity to take some of them to task today. And if you are a really hardcore wrestling fan, if you're an avid fan of professional wrestling, you may like this show, actually. Because you probably want to learn about the business and what the business really is. If you're one of those fans that want to put your head in the sand and say, no, I don't want to hear any opposing opinions. I'm right. You might as well shut it off now. Or if you don't want to know how the hot dog is made, then you may want to shut it off now. Because I'm going to tell you some truths. And here's the deal. If you're a professional wrestler and you have a podcast show, you're not going to say this because you're just not going to. Because you're going to protect the business and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. You don't want to step on any toes. You don't want to say anything that could get you in any any heat with the boys or whatever. Well, I don't care. I'm going to say things. And if you're a regular fan and you want to build up an audience, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me, so I'm going to say every fan is right. It's just a matter of opinion. It's just, everybody's entitled to their opinion, which you are. But you're not entitled to be an idiot. And you're not entitled to be wrong and say I'm right. Your opinion is, I think Metallica is a better band than Slayer. That's your opinion. If you say Metallica doesn't play their own instruments and their voice is pumped in by somebody else, that's a lie. That's not an opinion, and I can challenge you on that. See, that's how it works, folks. Opinions, you have the right to. Flat-out blatant lies and ridiculous statements, you don't. We're going to talk about what opinion is and what fact is a little bit involving the world of professional wrestling. Before we get to all of that, though, we've had this report, of course, that Charlotte Flair has COVID. Naturally, Rhea Ripley revealed that on Monday Night Raw. And then we had a report that she could show up as early as SmackDown and that she may in some way insert herself into Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair's match. It's not going to happen, folks. There's no way that WWE announced Charlotte Flair has COVID just to bring her back and go to a rival brand and insert herself in the match. She's going to insert herself in any match. She'd insert herself in the Asuka match, which she already challenged, because she'd have a right to say, wait a minute, I was the first person to challenge. So I don't know where that rumor came from. But I doubt very greatly that's happening. Very, very great. Second thing we want to talk about is apparently the WWE has signed I'll be honest with you. I don't even know who this guy is. This blog talk. He's not a blog talk. He's a blogger and he's a YouTuber to show up on SmackDown apparently. Actually, is it Raw or SmackDown? I don't even remember who these guys are. I'll tell you the truth. It's getting so convoluted, I don't even remember. But it is SmackDown. To Sami Zayn's red carpet, whatever the hell it is, Logan Paul. Look, do I know who he is? Yeah, he's got this Paul. It's something, what is it called? I don't even know. He's got a podcast that's very popular on YouTube. And before that, I guess he did some comedy stuff, done a little bit of acting. I guess he was trying to be a boxer. I don't know. I don't really know who he is. I don't follow him. But I can tell you this. This is a minor celebrity. I'm sorry. It's a YouTube celebrity, but... And I don't know what kind of role he's going to play. But apparently they've signed him for WrestleMania too. So he's literally going to be involved in this angle with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what audience they're trying to reach. Adding Bad Bunny, who I'll be honest with you on there too. I am a musician. I never heard of Bad Bunny until he was in the WWE. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a huge, huge rap fan, so maybe that's it. But I've heard of a lot of rappers. A lot of them. And I never heard of Bad Bunny. And I also never heard of this Logan, or whatever his name is. I've never heard of him. So I really don't think the WWE is, are they reaching the right audience? I don't know. I don't know. It's very odd. Mike, have you heard of this guy? Because, I mean, I know he's got 2 million plus subscribers on YouTube and things, but I've just never heard of him.
No, I haven't heard of him either. And look, I'm going down his like, I'm looking at his filmography, and I'm looking at different things on Wikipedia and all that stuff, and some of this stuff I've heard of things like Bizarre Bark and Stitchers, but he was on Law and Order, one of the Law and Orders. But again, I don't. But that's one off. It seems to be one off things, you know, that he was on at one point. So it's like I've never heard of this guy.
I never did either. I mean, 2 million people have, they subscribe to him. Now I made it my business to listen to a podcast. He does it with another guy. It's not. Just him. And they had Ben Shapiro on. And I mean, I don't see anything special about it. I don't know. I don't know what his claim to fame is. I really don't. I know Sami Zayn had said something about him being really controversial and understanding what it is to be targeted. And the only thing I could find on him that was controversial is apparently he went to Japan. And they have something called Suicide Forest or something where people actually commit suicide. And I guess he filmed someone and put it on YouTube, and which is probably not a great idea, and got vilified for that. But other than that, I don't necessarily see anything overly controversial or any reason why he would be involved in any kind of a, I know what it's like to be in a conspiracy theory or target. I don't know. I don't know where they're going with. But I would bet you that your average WWE fan probably doesn't know who he is. Probably doesn't. And if they do, I think they'll still be just as confused as I am about, well, why is he in WrestleMania? Why would he be? I've never heard him mention wrestling. I went through about, I don't know, 800 videos that's on YouTube. None of them are about wrestling. There's some on boxing. Apparently, we'll try to box. So I don't know where this is coming from, Todd. Have you heard of Logan Paul? Because I certainly haven't.
I never really heard of him until the other night. I never heard of that name before until I watched SmackDown the other night. Paul Logan. This another person just trying to get their 15 minutes.
Well, that's what it is. You know, that's what I think it is. Or they're trying to cater to the YouTube crowd, or I guess. I don't know what they're trying to cater to. It's a confusing mess. It really is. So I don't know. I don't know what he's got to add. I don't know who his fan base are. You know, I'd say his fan base may be younger, but he's got a show that deals with politics and stuff, so I doubt it. I mean, some of the podcasts he's doing, if he has, you know, political figures or political pundits on there, I doubt 13-year-olds are listening to it. I did see some things with Pokemon and things. I don't know what he does. I just don't know what he does. He's just a professional YouTuber, I guess. That's what he does. We'll see. We'll see if that's some kind of a draw. Maybe I've just missed the boat on someone, but I doubt it. I mean, I can understand if you're saying we have, you know, I don't know, Snoop Dogg, or we have Ice-T, or we have, you know, Jay-Z, or somebody. Okay, well, that's a pretty big name. I don't know. Bad Bunny? I know he won a Grammy and stuff. I don't know. He's not a household name with me, and I've not heard him before. Logan Paul's the same way. Heard a lot of podcasters. I've not heard of Logan Paul. And I've not heard of anything that would make him someone Sammy Dean would want to consult as far as being involved in some kind of a conspiracy against them. I don't know what that would be. But I guess we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Now, before I get to the heart of this, which is explaining to fans that maybe, I don't know how to put this nicely, so I'm just going to tell you the truth here. There are some fans out there, I really have to doubt, are wrestling fans. And if they are wrestling fans, they didn't do their homework. They think they know everything there was to know about the business. They know nothing. And now I'm beginning to see where the WWE has an issue with their fans. Before, I was always saying, you know, you got to take the fan side. The fans are your customers. The fans are the people who come into your restaurant. You can't, they tell you the food's lousy, you got to do something. But at some point, you have to say, well, if they have no taste buds, I'm not changing the food because, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And I'm beginning to believe that there are some fans that would complain if Andre the Giant came back from the dead. I complain a lot about the WWE, and I'm about to do it again. Because while I think SmackDown was a great show this week, they blew the ending of this show, and there's no excuse for it. There's absolutely zero excuse for it. You know, I smiled, and I was very happy at the beginning when Daniel Bryan said, look, I'm not asking for anything. Give me a title shot tonight. After all, I did tap him out. So give me my rematch tonight. And Adam Pearce says, well, that's not happening. And he says, okay, well, listen, WrestleMania. Make him give me a title shot afterwards. Well, it's not fair to have him fight two fights in one night. And Daniel Bryan says, all right, well, that's reasonable. But it's two nights. So how about we do whoever wins the one night, they give me the match the next night. Daniel Bryan specifically avoided add me to a three-way. The reason he specifically avoided it is because he was told to specifically avoid it because that was going to be supposedly Adam Pearce's decision and the surprise at the end. Well, the WWE blew it because when Edge walks into Roman Reigns' dressing room, he says, Daniel Bryan could pin me and be the champion. He didn't have to pin you to be the champion. You better think about that. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean he could pin you to be the champion? No one suggested there was a three-way up to that point. Daniel Bryan suggested a title match tonight. He was rejected. He suggested a title match at WrestleMania the same night. He was rejected. He said, how about the next night? And Adam Pearce said, I'll take it under consideration. So never at any time would there have been a scenario where Daniel Bryan could have pinned Edge and been the champion, other than if Edge won on night one and lost on night two. So his rhetoric to Roman Reigns was incorrect, and it gave away the ending. The only way Daniel Bryan could pin someone other than Roman Reigns and win the belt would be in a three-way, and that was not announced yet when Edge said it. I literally facepalmed myself, Mike, because I said they just gave away the goddamn ending. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, and up until that point, they were having a fairly decent show, you know?
Very good show.
I mean, they really were. Yeah, and that's the thing. That just proves our point. It only takes one thing to happen to ruin a show, you know, and that was the one thing. If they just had him keep his mouth shut, I mean, he could have went to Roman Reigns and said anything else, you know. It's unfair that it should be me and you and nobody else or something to that effect. I mean, anything
else. Yeah, Michael, look, all he had to say is, listen, we need to stop this because you could potentially be in a situation where you have to wrestle night after night. And whether you like me or not, I'm going to take you to your limit. You know I am. So even if you were to win, what condition do you think you're going to be in to fight Daniel Bryan the next night? And I know, I'm not stupid, I know that you can take me to my limit. And I could be bruised and battered. What condition am I going to be in to fight Daniel Bryan the next night? This is wrong. That's all they had to say. But no, they blow it. They tell him to go say, you could get pinned. Or you could lose without being pinned. Well, there was no three-way announced. So you blew the ending. Congratulations, WWE writers, on being total idiots. But I shouldn't be surprised, because here's the problem with this angle, and it's been the problem with this angle since day one. It does not make sense. There is no reason for Edge to be this angry, because no one is taking away his WrestleMania spot. No one is. No one is saying Edge is not going to be in the match. Daniel Bryan is. If that was the case, Edge could be furious. What they're saying is, or were suggesting was, if Daniel Bryan won at Fastlane, he would have to fight Edge at WrestleMania. Edge still has a spot. If Roman Reigns was to win, he'll fight Edge at WrestleMania. He still has his spot. No matter what Daniel Bryan does, Edge still has his spot. So why is Edge mad? It doesn't make sense. He technically caused the three-way to happen. All you'd have to say is, yeah, give Daniel Bryan his match the next night. Who cares? I'll fight him if I win. You still have your WrestleMania spot. There is no reason for Edge to be this angry, so it does not make sense. So, yes, I agree with the fans when they're saying there's not much sense to this angle. Here's where we're going to get into some controversy. I cannot believe the amount of fans who have lost their mind on the internet saying how this was a horrible decision. This is going to ruin the match. This is just a case of the WWE trying to utilize more talent because they don't have anything to do with them. And here's the problem. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's just not a fact. That you're dealing with Roman Reigns. So let's just break total kayfabe here for a minute. You're dealing with Roman Reigns. He's a pretty big guy. He's also a guy who had major health issues. And he's limited to how long he can go and how fast-paced the match is going to be. He's not going to be a fast-paced guy. He's kind of a slow, methodical guy. Edge has wrestled twice in how many years? And he's damn near 50, if not 50. And a whole host of injuries, some that were supposed to be career-ending. And he's not a third of what he used to be. And he also has to be careful and cautious and methodical. This match was destined to be a plodding, slow, short match that the fans were going to say, "Ah, this was boring. This sucked." WWE realized it. And they said, well, who we have in the match that can make the motion? Who's going to create the movement? Who's going to be the guy that can do the fast-paced stuff and give the other guys a rest? knock somebody out of the ring so they can catch their wind for 3 minutes while he does a lot of work. Daniel Bryan. So when you're putting together a match, you take those things into consideration and you say, well, if we're going to have these slow plodding matches, it better not be a championship match because that's probably not going to be great. And the WWE, I think, realized after a while, we're not going to get away with what Edge can offer. And Roman himself is not a guy who creates a lot of movement and you know, fast-paced, whatever. Roman is best when he's in the ring with somebody else who can create that movement. Look back at his matches with Baron Corbin. They were not good. Because neither one of those guys can. So if you know what you do with those matches? You make them hardcore matches. So you can throw somebody over the barricade and walk slowly toward them for 40 seconds and catch your breath, and it's supposed to be that way. Hardcore matches are maybe hard on your body, but they're easier on your cardio. You understand? You're not going to get gassed during a hardcore match for the most part because they're slow, methodical. You sacrifice the speed and the pacing for violence. That's what they did with Randy Orton and Edge. The same people complaining about this said, that match sucked. That match was terrible. Well, and that was a pre-recorded thing where they could cut the cameras and let the guys rest. What do you think Edge was going to do? You saw him and Uso. Edge was gassed after about 6 minutes. And that's against a guy who can go 25. Roman can't. Not unless he's going to be in those hardcore matches. Those last man standing, you can go outside the ring and walk around for 5 minutes match. That's how some of these hardcore guys last so long. You think the Sandman was in great cardio shape? But he could go 25 minutes in a hardcore match because he could pace himself very, very slow. Not get winded. Hit somebody with a chair, pose for the crowd, do this, that, and the other thing. You got all the time in the world to suck up your oxygen. But if you want to put the Sandman in the ring with Rey Mysterio, Rey's going to have to create all the motion. If you put the Sandman in the ring with, oh, I don't know, some other plotting guy, and they're not going to do hardcore, you're not going to have a good match. Well, Roman Reigns is a great professional wrestler, in my opinion, but he doesn't create a lot of motion. He's not a fast-paced guy. He's a little too big for that. He can do some athletic stuff, and he can do some acrobatic stuff. He can clear the top rope and do that kind of stuff, but he has to have a pacing that's a little bit slower. And when you're in there with a guy who can create a lot of motion like Daniel Bryan, he can have a really, really good solid match. But if he's in there with a guy who's just another guy who has to have somebody create the motion, then who's going to create the motion in the match? Nobody. And you're going to have a sour match. I'm telling you, that's the way it's going to go. That's not maybe. That's a fact. So you were staring down the barrel of a match that was going to be subpar, period. And you were staring down the barrel of a match that fans were going to say, that was disappointing. And now when you've added the guy who's going to help this match be a really good match, because he's going to have his moment, you wait and see who's in the ring the most. And guess who it's going to be? Daniel Bryan. He's going to knock Roman Reigns out of the ring, and him and Edge will go at it for a minute or two while Reigns catches his breath. Then Edge will go outside the ring, and he'll catch his breath. Then they'll have a little bit with Roman and Edge, and then we'll go back to Daniel Bryan creating some more motion and letting these guys have their rest so they can do a 15, 18-minute, however long they want it to go, match. So for you to say this is a horrible decision, number one, even storyline-wise, it's not a horrible decision. Because Edge and Roman Reigns had no chemistry, and the WWE also saw that too. What was this based on? You won the Royal Rumble, so I guess you get the shot. Pick me, pick me, pick me. I want to be the main event. I pick you. How dare you pick me? Their feud didn't even make any sense. There was no chemistry there. There was no story there. There was nothing. Now along comes Daniel Bryan, and now there is a story. Edge, for whatever reason, thinks Daniel Bryan's trying to cut into his glory, which I don't understand because that's not the case. And Daniel Bryan is saying, I tapped out the champion. This could be my last WrestleMania, And I'm going for the gusto. That's the story. There's more chemistry between Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns than there is Edge and Roman Reigns. And you want Bryan removed from the match? Mike, I don't understand this, and I think wrestling fans who don't like this, they have the right to not like it, but they don't understand the business because they were staring down the barrel of a match that was going to be subpar.
Right, and here's the deal. Think about this. There are other guys. If you didn't want Daniel Bryan, fine. If you didn't think that Daniel Bryan deserved it, because the general feel with Daniel Bryan is this is his last run, right? At some point, he's going to make the decision to go into retirement and all that stuff. This is his last run. I mean, he's coming. He too is coming off an injury, but unlike Edge, basically the same injury that Edge is coming off of, which everybody thought might have been a career-ending injury with Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan came back, and he's been wrestling for how long now since he came back from the possible injury? So, yeah. And look, Daniel Bryan, yeah, he gives you the motion that you need in this match. And like I said, there are other guys that could have given you this, you know, Rey Mysterio. I mean, maybe the storyline might have not been there, but Rey Mysterio, even to some extent, somebody like Seth Rollins could have given you this. Yeah, there's emotion in this type of match. I mean, there's a reason why most of the matches with either Tamina or Nia Jax are three-way matches, in singles matches, because they need somebody to give that motion. Because Nia ain't going to do it, you know?
Well, that's just it. And of course, Seth Rollins is a good choice even by himself, because Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, Seth could create the motion. You don't need a third person to create the motion if the second guy in there can do it. In other words, you could have a guy like Roman Reigns in there against a Rey Mysterio, and that's just fine. Because, you know, there used to be this old running joke about the Junkyard Dog, that you had to create all the motion for the Junkyard Dog. He would stay dead center in the middle of the ring, and you had to come to him. You were the one who had to do the motion. He couldn't because he had no cardio. So the wrestlers would say, when we wrestle Junkyard Dog, we understand. We have to create all the motion. He's going to stay basically flat-footed. He's not going to move much. I mean, he'll take the bump on the ring. He'll go down and stuff, but he's not going to move much. You can't run him. If you start running him, he's just going to run out of gas, and he's done. So we have to create the motion. Now, I'm not saying either Roman Reigns or Edge is as bad as the Junkyard Dog. But both of them have their limitations with that. And when both guys have the limitations, so if you were to theoretically fight Junkyard Dog and King Kong Bundy, what a slow, plodding match that's going to be. Because Bundy can't create the motion either. But when you seen like Randy Savage fight him, it almost made you forget that the Junkyard Dog's not doing much. Randy was doing all the work. Junkyard was bumping him, but it was Randy who was doing most of the work. Climbing up to the top, jumping off, and Junkyard catches him with a punch to the stomach and doubles over. And then Junkyard, he runs at him and he headbutts him and he knocks him out of the ring. And the dog's not moving much. A couple steps. It's Savage who's doing all the moving because he's in good cardio shape. Now, Roman's in fairly good cardio shape, and Edge is in okay cardio shape, but Edge is not ring. He's probably not even in ring shape. I know he's probably done a lot of training and stuff. It's not the same. They're going to be in front of a live audience. See, that I think the WWE would have said, we can get away with this if we're not. If they totally knew they weren't going to be in front of a live audience, I think the WWE would have said, we'll get away with this. Even if we have to cut. But they can't get away with it in front of a live audience. People are going to realize, wow, these guys are gassed. They won't be gassed now. If the match is planned right, everything will go fine and everyone will look good. And everyone will have their spots. And Daniel Bryan will create the motion in the match. The problem is your average fan doesn't know how a match is constructed. And I'm not expecting them to. But then when someone tells you that, you should at least be able to say, I get what you're saying. Okay, I get it. I see where you're coming from. Yeah, you're right. Both of them guys, one not being too active lately and the other coming off some time off as well and medical issues, and a guy who never was a big, you know, cardio-type wrestler. I get it. I get that that match probably would not have been what we thought. So, yeah, maybe adding Daniel Bryan isn't a bad idea. No, instead you get, oh, yeah, no, everybody sucks. I'm right. Daniel Bryan sucks, and they blew it. WrestleMania sucks. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just talking out your ass. You're the guy that's, you know, sitting on your sofa eating Doritos, drinking Dr. Pepper, two-liter Dr. Pepper, watching UFC saying, oh, man, I would have just ducked that kick and knocked him out with a roundhouse. Yeah, that's what you would have done. When you couldn't even pass the goddamn physical to actually get in the octagon. See, that's the problem. When I was a fledgling wrestling fan, I listened to everything. When people told me stuff, I absorbed it and said, oh, okay, that's why they did this. Oh, I see why they didn't do it this way. I understand now. And I ate that knowledge up. Wrestling fans now just reject the knowledge. It's, no, I know everything. You know nothing. Vince McMahon is an idiot, but he's a billionaire. And you watch his product, and you buy his merchandise. But he's an idiot. See, this is the problem. You can criticize the things you don't like, but if you reject trying to learn things and maybe the reasons behind it, you never grow as a fan. You never really understand the business. You just presume that you know everything already because you watch it. And that's just not true. So for the fans who really want to understand the business, this is why Daniel Bryan was added to the match. There's a few reasons. The main one, I think, being that Edge did not end up being as popular as they thought. And they realized this isn't going to sell WrestleMania huge. The second one being they fully understood this match is not going to be good. It'll be passable at best. We're going to have to limit it to like 6-8 minutes. 10 at the outset. It's going to be kind of slow. Then they realize if we add Daniel Bryan to it, we can stretch it out a little bit. He can create all the motion in the ring. He can give the other person, whichever one it happens to be, a rest when need be. He's probably in the best cardio of any of the three. And I know people say, well, Edge did the whole Royal Rumble. Yeah, he did, sitting on his fucking ass 90% of the time. Don't give me that shit. You know how easy it is to do Royal Rumble when you're doing nothing? Anybody could do it. Otis could do it. So that's overrated. That's all wrestling hype. Do you know how much cardio it takes to be in there for that long? It takes none. That takes none. You know how much cardio it takes to just do a little 2-minute segment? I do, because I've trained wrestlers. And I've had guys who said, well, I'm an athlete. I did high school football and college, and I play tennis, and they're in there for 30 seconds, and they're like, oxygen! Oxygen! I can't breathe! Because they blow themselves up instantly. Because they don't know how to pace themselves. So they go in there, and they do a few little things, and they're like, well, oh, my God, I can't breathe. Yeah, because you didn't pace yourself. You just went in there and blew yourself up. Well, certainly Roman Reigns and Edge know how to pace themselves, but the pacing has to be kind of slow at this stage. Daniel Bryan doesn't have that problem. So he can whip them to the buckle and they can stand there and he can run back and forth and back and forth and do his kicks or his elbows or his knees or whatever while they just stand there. He can come off the ropes and while they're standing in the middle of the ring, do the dive over top of them and hit the ropes and jump over top of them and do a flip. He can do all that. You have to understand that sometimes when you're watching a move and you say, well, it's really like both guys did that well. Yeah, but the one guy just kind of stood there. It was the other guy creating the motion. The other guy did his part, but his part was kind of standing there and not creating much motion, while the other guy around him does. That's how you book and pace these matches. So that's why he was added. Going to be a better match because of it, despite what you may think or say. It's just as simple as that. And now the same fans are saying, well, Bray Wyatt, they've all turned on the Fiend now. Now, I admit you're starting to jump the shark with this. I told you before, you either like these supernatural angles or you don't. But again, it's silly for fans to say, well, Bray Wyatt's overrated. Name me a match he was in that was a five-star match. He's not meant to do a five-star match. Those type of characters don't do five-star matches. They just don't. Before you say, well, The Undertaker's had a couple. Yeah, The Undertaker's had a couple when he eased up his character. The Undertaker had none when he was just The Undertaker the first couple of years, and he moved in that slow, methodical whatever. He had no five-star matches. Years and years on, when he totally eased that up, he had some great matches. But at first, he didn't. He was real stiff. You slam him, he just sits back up. You knock him over the ropes, he lands on his feet. He was just doing gimmicky stuff. That's all Bray Wyatt's supposed to do, folks. What do you want the Fiend to do? 20 super kicks? Have a super kick party? See, you're living in the age where people think the Young Bucks are the greatest wrestlers in the world. They do the same thing every single friggin' match. So fine, they're good athletes, and they can flippity-flop. And nobody gives one damn about them. Okay? And before you tell me, yes, they do, no, they don't. Because I was at independent cards where the Young Bucks showed up, and they didn't even sell out. So if you can't sell out 800 people, don't tell me they're so popular. They're advertised for months. Young Bucks are going to be on the card and in a place that was probably could fit 1,500 people. Maybe you had 800. So don't go telling me that they draw. And this brings me to the third thing. When you try to tell fans, it's the draw that counts. Pro wrestling is a business. It is not a sport. Get it out of your head. Get it out of your head. And just like any other business, there are actors, really, really good actors in Hollywood who can out-act many people who producers and directors will take ahead of those good actors because they draw. Oh, we're putting Jim Carrey in a movie? Well, fans will come see it. This other guy who's a million times better than Jim Carrey? Nobody knows who he is. That's not going to draw fans. We're not going to put them in a movie. Why do you think pro wrestlers get jobs in movies? Because they're such good actors? It's because they got a built-in fan base. And the director says, even if this movie sucks, X amount of people are going to come see it because so-and-so's in it. So we got a built-in audience. He's marketable. That's all that counts. So I hate to be the guy that tells you there's no Santa Claus. But all that counts in the business of professional wrestling is your marketability. And if you think otherwise, it's not your opinion, you're wrong. Every promoter cares about one thing, money. How much money can you draw? How much can you make me? How many fans can you get into this arena? How much of your merchandise can we sell? That's it. It's the same way with the music business. You think there aren't people more talented than Cardi B? Are they signed to record labels? No. Why aren't they signed to record labels? Because they're not marketable. That's why. Why does Marilyn Manson have to look like that? Why does Rob Zombie have to look like that? Because they're marketable looking like that. If they look like your high school teacher and they were 50 pounds overweight and balding, they would not be marketable, and they could sound exactly the same. And ain't nobody touching them. Because they'd say, we can't market you. Doesn't matter, but your musical talent doesn't matter. We can't market you. Well, that's the same way with pro wrestling, because it's not a sport. See, if it was a sport, it doesn't matter. Because I promise you, if there was some 45-year-old dude who was 75 pounds overweight and looked like he was heading for the boneyard, and he could hit 65 home runs a year, somebody will sign him. They don't give a damn what he looks like. Who cares? You can hit 65 home runs a year, you're on my team. I don't give a damn what you look like. But if he could sing like Justin Bieber, he ain't getting on a record contract. Because you can't market that guy. That's the difference between a real sport and professional wrestling, folks. Because wrestling is not a sport. You have to be marketable. Now, I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings. I'm sorry if you're an independent guy who's being told, the better your moves, the more chances you have to make it. Wrong. Why do you think the Ultimate Warrior even existed? Because he was so marketable. The guy blew up after 3 minutes. He knew two moves. And he couldn't do them well. But he was marketable as all hell, especially to a younger audience. And that sweet, sweet money was rolling in when the Warrior showed up. So they didn't give a damn. And they told people who was a million times better than the Warrior, you're doing the job. Because as long as this guy is putting asses in seats and selling merchandise, and you ain't, he's better than you. He's more valuable to you, or to us, than you. That's the name of the game, folks. That's wrestling. If you don't like it, I don't care. That's the truth. Now, it would be great if you had all of it like Shawn Michaels, where you were very marketable and you were a really good wrestler and you could put asses in seats and you could sell merchandise, then you're the million-dollar baby, aren't you? But those guys don't come along that much. So, Mike, for guys to sit there and literally say, well, Bray Wyatt's overrated because he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't do 25-minute five-star matches. And Mike, it's absolutely ludicrous. Well, he's not even supposed to do them.
Right, and that's the thing. Now his brother, you look at his brother, Bo Dallas, he's every bit the athlete. He's the guy in the family that if you put him in there, he can create the motion. That's what would make a if they handle it right. That's what would make a Bray Wyatt versus Bo Dallas match. If they're going to go with this Fiend versus Fiend thing, and Bo is one of the Fiends, and he's the smaller of the Fiends, that would make that match an interesting match because Bo would be the one that we would be creating all the motion. You know, I'll put it to him.
If he's going to play the Fiend, they're not going to let him do all that motion because the Fiend character isn't supposed to do it. And I know there are people saying, well, I mean, Kane versus The Undertaker had good matches. Neither one of them created motion. You're right. You can have a good match and not have a guy create a whole bunch of motion. But, boy, you better have a really good story behind it. Okay, there are people who say, Andre the Giant Hulk Hogan was legendary. It was. And they moved like turtles, and they did very little. It was the story behind it that made it legendary. It was the psychology that made it legendary. Nothing they did in the ring. You got to separate the two. If you have enough good psychology, then you don't need the motion. You can have two lumbering guys and people care, legitimately care who's going to win. ECW did it all the time. Because 85% of them guys had zero motion. Then you had some of them, obviously, that thrived on it. But very few of them. So you can have the good match, don't get me wrong. But you better have a really good story. There was no really good story to Edge and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns barely called Edge out. The whole story was, you better pick me. If you don't pick me, you're not the main event of WrestleMania. If you don't pick me, it doesn't matter. okay, I pick you. How dare you pick me? What kind of a story is that? I thought he was going to go after him physically. I thought he was going to go after his family structure. I thought he was going to go after everything. They didn't do any of that. You know why they didn't do that? Because they were afraid fans were going to whine about it. Oh, he's being too mean. That's not right. We don't like that. We don't like when they're too mean. Let's stop being a wrestling fan then. I mean, just knock it off already. Because you're not really fans. You're actually preventing the fans from seeing what we want to see. So you're the roadblocks. Don't believe me? Peacock won't even air certain things. Peacock is starting to censor things that they shouldn't even censor now. It's one thing to say we might censor one thing that we think is beyond the pale. No, they're talking about getting rid of all the crotch chops. They're talking about, that's the whole DX thing. I don't know what you're going to do. The whole suck it thing. Well, then I don't know. Well, where are you going to see it now? All you Einsteins who sold off your collection of WWE DVDs and said, I don't need them anymore because I can see anything I want on the WWE network. Well, guess what? Now that part of history's gone. Because everybody has to be a complainer and a whiner. Now, if you want to complain about legitimate stuff, I'm with you. I want the WWE to give fans what they want, too. But fans got to understand, you have to be a fan first and understand what wrestling is. The very first thing, you either A, have to be oblivious and think it's real, then you could be a fan. If you're 8 and you think this is real, or 9 or whatever, God bless you. You're probably a really big fan. That's great. Once you understand it's predetermined, then you have to try to understand the business, to really enjoy it. And part of understanding the business is to understand that there's limitations on certain wrestlers. The best guys, as far as athletically, aren't always going to be the top guys, and there's a reason for it. And then at the end of the day, professional wrestling exists to make the promoters money. And the guys who make them that money are going to be the guys they use. You're the same guys who say Bray Wyatt is overrated, who love Dusty Rhodes. Please explain to me how many ridiculously high-flying escapades Dusty Rhodes had. How about none? Dusty Rhodes did a bionic elbow and a few other things. You know why Dusty Rhodes was great? Psychology. The psychology behind a wrestling match. You cared who won. You always cared who won. And he could use that microphone to reach out to fans and really sell his fights. That's why Dusty's a legend. And he is a legend. Was he a great athlete? Was he a tremendous, tremendously gifted pro wrestler? No. Was Hogan? No. Was Warrior? No. You don't always have to be immensely successful. But then you better be a guy who can draw. And boy, could Dusty Rhodes draw. What did Stone Cold Steve Austin do that was so ridiculously 5-star? Nothing. But man, was he a character who could draw and sell his fights. Same way with The Rock. But man, could they draw and sell their fights. And the psychology was there. So automatically a match that if you didn't know either one of these guys and never heard of them in your life and you're just watching this for the first time, you'd say, 3 out of 5. You made 4 and 5 out of 5. Because you did know them and you knew the backstory and you knew the build-up, and the build-up made it that much greater. That's part of the psychology of wrestling, that the build-up makes the match more than it is. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant is one of the most legendary matches in wrestling history, and it was based on a lie. Andre the Giant lost plenty of times. And Andre the Giant fought Hulk Hogan before. in Madison Square Garden when Hulk Hogan was a bad guy. So Andre was not undefeated, nor was Hulk Hogan. But the build-up to that match and the psychology of that match had you so intense over who might win that it became a legendary match. And really, it was a subpar match. It was it. Andre was well past his prime and could barely move. And what could Hogan really do with a guy like that in the ring? Not much. He certainly wasn't going to create any emotion or do anything outstanding. So it was what it was, but it didn't matter. So you can have those matches. But when a guy like Edge and Roman Reigns has no chemistry, no backstory, the whole thing is falling apart because it doesn't even make any sense, you might as well at least inject Daniel Bryan into it and make it a good match. If you can't sell it psychologically, which you weren't doing, then you better be able to sell it with a really good match. And Mike, they didn't have the backstory, so they had to do that.
Right. I mean, what happened when the Big Show first showed up in WCW? All right.
Yeah.
What was the storyline from with the Big Show that he in storyline he was the son of Andre the Giant, right? And so it made with that storyline, it made logical sense that he would eventually face Hulk Hogan, right?
Correct.
It made logical sense. And so, and in that particular case, we knew what was coming. We knew that the match was going to happen, and we knew it probably was, but because one wasn't going to be a good match, but because of the storyline, it was an interesting match, and it was an interesting match, and it kept people's attention because of the storyline. That's how important a storyline can be.
You're absolutely correct. Now, Derek is saying, well, what did Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock do? They entertained. That's correct. They were very entertaining, and they made you care about who was going to win. Simple as that. Mick Foley is legendary. Did he have a 5-star match? He put his body on the line a lot. Certainly. But was he a gifted and, technically sound professional wrestler? No. And he'll be the first one to tell you. But, man, was he good at the psychology of wrestling. And the fact that he's putting his body on the line and risking it all sometimes. He was great at that. He was great at making you think at any time I go see a match involving Cactus Jack or Mick Foley or any one of his characters mostly. At any time during this match, he may do something crazy. He may go to a degree we've never seen before. He was a master at that. And seldom did he do it, but once in a while he would. And that would keep you thinking, hey, anywhere he's at, I might see something like that. I might see a Mick Foley moment. That's what he was good at. A lot of these guys are good at something, whether it's the psychology of it, whether it's the in-ring. I mean, look, Dean Malenko was a tremendous real professional wrestler. He had no charisma, so he couldn't go anywhere. That's the problem. You see, fans, some fans, not all, I'm not lumping all fans. I don't want people to think I'm lumping all fans into one category because I'm not. There's a lot of fans who listen to this show who write me and say, very smart, astute things. But I also go on the internet and I read just psychobabble, like how Daniel Bryan's going to ruin the match. It's just not true. I don't know where you come up with this. Or Bray Wyatt is a terrible wrestler. It's not true. Just not true. Now, if you say to me, I don't like this supernatural crap, I think that it makes wrestling look phony and fake, that's a good opinion. And I respect that opinion. I may not totally agree with it, but I do respect it. I understand where you're coming from. You like the more realistic professional wrestling, and to an extent, I do too. So I get that. And if you say, well, I think that they're not utilizing Bray Wyatt correctly in this Fiend thing, I get that too. But if you're going to tell me Bray Wyatt sucks, this character's way, 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 he's overrated totally as a wrestler, totally, you're just wrong. I mean, you can say it. I can say the sun is made out of cheese. That doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make it my opinion. It's just factually incorrect. A lot of fans do is they're holding up wrestling as if it's a sport. And they're saying unless you are a premier athlete who can last 20 minutes in the ring and do all kinds of 500 different moves in a match, you suck. That's just not true, and that's not what this business is built on. Again, let me go to baseball. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't. Nothing matters in baseball except can you get the job done. And again, I don't care if some guy has three eyes. If he can hit 60 home runs, he's going to be on the team. I don't care what is going on. If he can hit 60 home runs or he can strike out 18 batters a game, he's on the team. And it does not make any difference at all what he looks like, how he acts, unless he does something illegal. But nothing matters except can you get the job done? That's the prerequisite for can you make this baseball team. In wrestling, it's not true. You can't look like just an average Joe and have no charisma and be a great, great, great super athlete and achieve a lot in wrestling because you're not marketable. And at the end of the day, wrestling's a business, an entertainment business where they market you. Stone Cold Steve Austin was so marketable, it was ridiculous how marketable he was. The Rock, too. It was just ridiculous how marketable they were. So they rose right to the top. Stone Cold Steve Austin a better wrestler than some of these guys who did nothing in the WWE? No. But he was a hell of a lot more marketable and a hell of a lot more entertaining. And that's the difference, folks. Get it out of your head. It's a sport. I'm not denying that the people who do it are athletes, but that doesn't make everything they do a sport. If Kurt Angle's in a movie, that doesn't make the movie a sport. It makes it a movie with an athlete in it. A lot of these karate guys, they do their own stunts, but it's still a movie. It's not a kung fu tournament. It's not a sport. Well, that's the same thing with professional wrestling. It's not a sport. It's an entertainment venue. And you've got to be entertaining. And you've got to be marketable. And you've got to be somebody that the fans want to see and they'll buy into and they'll buy their merchandise and they'll buy tickets to see. And if you're not that, it doesn't matter what you are. I hate to burst your bubble. I told the guy that, he laughed at me. Oh, yeah, wrestling, it's all based on marketable. Yeah, it is, Einstein. That's what it's based on. And I got news. You could be the top collegiate athlete in the whole entire nation or an Olympic gold medal wrestler with a zero charisma, who could go 70 minutes if they needed to be in a wrestling ring and not even break a sweat and tap out everybody in the locker room in 30 seconds for real. And if you have zero charisma, some pot-bellied 55-year-old man with a beard down to his waist who couldn't last 2 minutes in a real fight with anybody but could fill that arena with people is going to beat you like a drum. And you're going to be counting the ring lights. Because he sells tickets and you don't. That's it. End of conversation. I'm sorry if that bursts your bubble about pro wrestling. I'm sorry if that's like telling you there's no Santa Claus. I'm telling you the truth. Wrestlers won't tell you this because they're like, no, no, we train so fucking hard. And they do train hard because they want to put on good matches. But they don't want to admit that some guy that doesn't train hard can do just exactly what they do. You think Kevin Owens hits the gym every day? I don't. Well, I got news for you. Kevin Owens had a very successful career in pro wrestling, being an overweight dude who probably doesn't go to the gym very much. Well, I can point you out a million bodybuilders who did not succeed in professional wrestling. I can point you out a million collegiate athletes who did not succeed in professional wrestling. And I can also tell you the story of Dewey Robertson. Let me educate the children. Dewey Robertson was a legit wrestler, Canadian wrestling champion. You know where his career was going? Nowhere. He tried to be a professional wrestler. He had about as much charisma as a doorknob. He looked like an older man. Even though he wasn't so old, he looked older than he was. He was balding, slightly overweight. He just didn't look tough. He was tough. He probably could have tapped everybody out. You know where he's going? Nowhere. He was putting on moves nobody ever saw in a wrestling ring. Real moves, man. Going nowhere. You know what he did? He shaved half of what was left of his head, painted his face all up, dyed his tongue green, turned his name into the Missing Link, where all he ever did was headbutt and bite you, and he went on to be a legend. Because the minute he did that, he was marketable. And people said, oh, that guy looks like an insane Cro-Magnon man, throwback to a Cro-Magnon era. He's insane. Who would ever want to wrestle that guy? He looked like he's trying to kill you. Yeah, he never did a wrestling move again in the rest of his life. He made a huge living in the world of professional wrestling because he went from, I'm a legit badass wrestler, to I'm just going to try to entertain people. I'm sure you remember Dewey Robertson, Mike, and that's the story of him.
Yeah, you know, Missing Link. Yeah, I mean, think about this. Bob Backlund, what was he? All everything amateur wrestler who could probably throughout his career have tapped anybody out anyway. Well, yeah, he was marketable to a certain point, but what happened when he came back later in his career and he was doing that crazy Mr. Backman deal? He became even more marketable. You know? I mean,
you're absolutely In that era, Backlund was marketable because back then the era was different. So, yeah, he was marketable as the All-American boy there for a while. But when wrestling changed, he was very unmarketable. So they had to change him. Todd, I don't know if you remember Dewey Robertson, but you sure remember the Missing Link. And there you go. It's a perfect story of how you have to be more of an entertainer than an athlete.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Missing Link and everything. When he was Dewey Roberts, he was not getting over with anybody. He was just not getting that famous of doing his original gimmick as himself. So he became the Missing Link. Shaved his hair half of his head, dyed his tongue green and
face. And all he ever did was headbutt and bite you. What did George the Animal Steel do? Did he wrestle? But I got news for you. There were plenty of people who packed into Madison Square Garden to say, man, I hope he gets beat tonight. Man, I hope somebody beats the hell out of that guy. I hate George the Animal Steel. And then later on, to his credit, showing how great a professional wrestler he really was, he became this lovable, harmless, childlike guy who hung onto a mind doll and was madly in love with Elizabeth. And the fans loved him. He was able to go from this crazed man who people thought belonged in the insane asylum and were actually terrified of him in real life to someone the kids wanted to, you know, be around because he was that good at the psychology of professional wrestling. That was his gift. He wasn't a gifted athlete, but he had the psychology of the game down, and he understood what it took to entertain fans. And there were times when he would send audiences screaming and running away when he'd come after them. Then there were times when kids would flock to the front of the gate to try to, you know, touch him. It was an amazing thing to see. Because he was that good psychologically. That's all that counts, folks. It's great if you can do other things. But this is why you take a look at, like, the Young Bucks. They're not marketable. What are you going to market them as? Two smug guys who aren't really even all that young anymore, who call themselves the Young Bucks, who do nothing but a super kick party and flippity-floppity moves. Great. You're great athletes. And? You know what will happen if you go to a record company and say, I'm a great musician? They'll say, and? Great musicians are a dime a dozen. I can find great musicians in local bars everywhere. So what? You're a great musician. 12,000 other people are great musicians in this town. What makes you different? What makes you special? How come you're going to earn me money? How come fans are going to come see you as opposed to all these other people? How come when they take a look at your record cover and they see you, they're going to pick that album up, they're going to pick that CD up? How come? How come when they're flipping channels and they see a video, they're going to stop and watch that video? How come? What have you got to offer other than you're a great musician? Because that ain't enough. That's the answer you're going to get. Well, that's the answer you're going to get in wrestling, too. So you're a great wrestler. And how are you going to draw fans to my show? How are you going to sell your T-shirts? How are you going to make me money? And if you don't have that answer, you don't have something special about you, you ain't going nowhere. It's just as simple as that. There's got to be a reason why fans want to see you. Now, in some cases, it could be your moves. In some cases, it could be. Like, for instance, Cactus Jack, people wanted to see him because they thought at any moment he may do something insane. He may legit kill himself or somebody else. Fans want to see certain wrestlers because they think they're going to do these high-flying whatevers, and it's going to be exciting. That's fine. But that wears off after a while. I warned everybody about Ricochet, didn't I? Do you know how much heat I got for that? No, you know what you're talking about. Ricochet's an elite athlete. He'll be at the top of the WWE for life. And I told you, he's not going to be, because he's not marketable. He's going to do his flippity-floppity moves, and you're going to see him 400 times and say, I've seen that already. What else has he got? You can only see the guy walk the tightrope so much and not fall before you say, he's not going to fall. And I've seen him do this before. It's not that impressive anymore. First time you see it, you're like, oh, my God. Look how high up he is. What happens if he falls? That's amazing. He's fantastic. You see it 100 times, and you're like, well, he obviously can do this. I know he can do it. I'm supremely confident that nothing's going to happen, and I've seen it. What else has he got to offer? Nothing. That's it. Okay, well, then I'm not coming back to see it again. You got to be able to reach out and grab that audience, because they can't do it. That's why I told you he wasn't going to be around. Aleister Black couldn't do it, and that's why he's not around. Sometimes it's the WWE's fault, because they give you a character that's terrible. And no one could reach out with an audience with that character. Sometimes it's your fault, because you can't do it. So, Mike, for all of these people who say, you know, Bray Wyatt's overrated, I think, if anything, Bray Wyatt is underrated.
Right, and think about this. Fandango and what you called before they put them together? You know, where were they? Yeah, they were good wrestlers, but once they put those together with the Fashion Police, well, there you go. And look, if you want to make the argument that in terms of marketing, that the WWE with certain people has screwed the pooch in marketing, I'm open to that argument. All you got to do is look at what they did with Bayley when she first came up. I mean, she was infinitely marketable
when she first came up, right? I mean, think about it.
Yeah, you know, they blew it. You're right. Then that's the case of the WWE. She did her job right, and they blew it. Now, Derek's saying, well, Aleister Black's only around because his wife left. That's not true. Vince had already soured on him. He was already dropping matches to Kevin Owens and looking bad and had his gimmick changed and everything else long before Zelina Vega lost. Vince had already said no more of him. The only thing that was keeping Aleister Black alive was that Paul Heyman liked him and Paul Heyman was in charge. The minute Paul Heyman lost his job, Aleister Black was doomed because Vince McMahon said there's no money in him. Period. That's what he said. There's no money in him. He's not connecting with fans. The gimmick that he brought here from NXT isn't working on the main roster. We tried to give him another gimmick, and that's not working. He didn't see anything in him. See, Vince McMahon looks at this as a business. He is a businessman. What makes him money is good for the company, period. And if some dude who has zero knowledge of professional wrestling walks through that door and somehow, never would, but somehow gets a chance and lights up the fans, Vince don't give a damn if you know anything about pro wrestling. Does Bad Bunny know anything about professional wrestling? Does Logan Paul know anything about professional wrestling? How come they're there? Because he thinks they can draw. He thinks they're going to be money. If Vince McMahon cared so much about the quality of athlete, why would you throw Braun Strowman to the wolves and have some boxer, the Gypsy King, knock the fuck out of him and destroy his image as an unbeatable monster? Because you thought he'd draw money. And that's all you care about. Why would you bring Goldberg back time and time again? Because he'll draw money. He can't wrestle. Goldberg can't wrestle. But he can draw money. So he's in. Simple as that. You may not like it. I may not like it. But that's the way it is. And to say it's not is ludicrous. That's the way it is. That's the business of professional wrestling. That's why it's not a sport. A sport is always going to be based on how good of an athlete you are, not how many people come to see you. Wrestling is always going to be based on how many people you draw, how much merchandise you sell. If the ratings go up when you're on the show, that's it. That's all they care about. There's a very good chance that despite how it happens, Bad Bunny will go over The Miz at WrestleMania. So let me ask you, how many hours do you think Bad Bunny toiled in the gym? How much sacrifice did he make to be a pro wrestler? How many years did he struggle on the indie scene, sleeping in my car and working for hot dogs at the concession stand and having to set up the ring and tear it down after the show? How much do you think that happened? I'll tell you how much. It didn't. But it doesn't matter because he's famous and they think he's going to sell some tickets and they think he's going to sell some merchandise. And they're right because apparently he sold a whole bunch of merchandise, WWE-based merchandise, when he first showed up. So the WWE now thinks he's their cash cow and they're going to keep him around for a little while. Because he's making the money. That's it. They sacrificed the whole women's division for Ronda Rousey. Was she a great professional wrestler? Now, I'm not saying she couldn't tap out every girl in that locker room. She could. But was she a great professional wrestler? The answer is no, she wasn't. In fact, sometimes she was embarrassingly bad. They don't care. Because her name was making them money. They don't care. Again, I hate to burst your bubble. And if you think AEW is any different, you're wrong. AEW has proven 100% to be phonies. Now guess what happened? Cody and Brandy are getting a reality TV show. Oh, is that the Miz and Mrs. much? What next? What are you going to do next? I don't know. You got to wait and see what the WWE does. So you're going to be different than the WWE. Suddenly this is all about how much airtime can we give Cody and Brandy and my friends. We want to be famous, even if it's not in wrestling. Give me the spotlight. It's not going to work. The bottom line of the situation is you can hire all the great wrestlers in the world. Their shtick gets old if they're not somebody that you can relate to or they're not marketable. Because there's only so many moves you can do. And only so many times you can do them before they're not that impressive anymore. If I never see another super kick party in my life, it'll be too soon. I've seen it to death. It was fun the first few times. Now it's just, here we go again. So there you go, folks. I hate to piss in your Kool-Aid. But wrestling is not about how good you are as an athlete or how many five-star matches you can put on. You can be putting on one-star matches, and as long as fans are coming through those gates and buying your T-shirts and tuning in to see you, nobody gives one single damn. You might, but they don't because they're making money. I could gargle into a microphone. I could literally pour Listerine in my mouth and gargle into a microphone while somebody else belches out a beat. And if it sells a million copies, they're signing me. And I'm their boy. They're promoting me. Doesn't matter if I have one speck of musical talent, not one. It doesn't matter. What matters is the money's rolling. That's it. Or I could be the world's greatest singer and a master guitar player. And if nobody comes to see me and nobody's interested in anything I'm doing, they're not signing me, and they don't give one damn how good I am. It doesn't matter. What matters is the bottom line. And that's what separates the entertainment business from sports. Because in sports, it does matter. You think for 1 minute that if you're 50 and you can still throw that football, and you can still be a master quarterback, they give a damn that you're 50? They don't give one damn. They'll ride you to death. If Tom Brady wanted to play till he was 60 and he could perform at this level, he would still be performing and they would still sign him. Because they don't care about his age. They care about his performance. Doesn't matter how old he is. We're still winning games. That's all that counts. They're not going to say, well, there's some kid on the sidelines that's real popular named Logan Paul, and he can't throw a football. But, boy, he's popular. He's got 2 million views on YouTube, so we're going to throw him in the game, even though he's going to cost us the game. But that's okay because fans will come see him. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to say, get the 60-year-old Brady in here and let's win the friggin' game. But if it was pro wrestling, Logan Paul would be the quarterback. You got me? And Brady would be old hat, goodbye, see you later. Yeah, 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 we know you're a great quarterback. Thanks for coming. Simple as that. It sounds cynical, Mike, but it's the truth, and I think it's time that somebody educated the fans to the truth.
Right. And the thing is, as you mentioned, you know, If you're a band and your lead singer sounds like he's gargling marbles, like he's got a bunch of marbles in his mouth, but he's marketable. I mean, think about Nirvana. You know, yeah, he sounded like he had marbles in his mouth, but that band was marketable, right? And so marketable that Weird Al made a parody song of it, you know, of that, of Smells Like Teen Spirit. And
his general thing was he wasn't making fun of the song, he was making fun of the lead singer because of the way he sounds, right? And that even though it was a parody song, it was marketable because it had some truth to it. That's another thing. A lot of this stuff, you got to buy it for these people to be marketable. You got to buy them. I mean, look, we talk about changing gimmicks, right? Changing things. The Sheep Haters were the Sheep Haters before, before they were this badass team. But when they got in the WWE, what did they change into? Licking heads and walking funny and basically what Otis is doing is basically the Sheep Haters, right? So
they became lovable bushwhackers licking each other's face. But let's give a better musical example, because I know people are going to say, look, Kurt Cobain was a great songwriter. The band had started a total movement, so that's probably not a great example. Here's a better example. If Britney Spears looked like Rosie O'Donnell but sounded exactly the same as Britney Spears, would Rosie O'Donnell have got signed to a record contract? The answer is no. Britney Spears got signed to a record contract because she looked that way and she was marketable. If she was 300 pounds, it never would have happened. Simple as that. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. They looked at Britney Spears and they said, she's a decent singer, but boy, can we market her. We can dress her up in Catholic girl school outfit and have her crawl down a hallway in a music video, and the young guys are going to eat this up, and the girls are all going to want to be her, and boy, can we market this. But if she was 300 pounds and as ugly as an old board fence, they would have said, well, what's marketable? People are going to take a look at her and say, well, she's singing Hit Me Baby One More Time. Hit you with what, an ugly stick? We can't put this on TV. Nobody's going to buy this. I'm sorry if that's offensive. It's the truth. Simple as that. And you can hate it all you want, but doesn't stop it from being the truth. And pro wrestling is exactly the same. If you aren't a great athlete, and you are a great character, you're still going to rise to the top in pro wrestling if you can connect with the fans. And you can still have great matches as long as you got the psychology there. You don't need to be Mr. I'm in super condition. I'm a cardio wizard. You don't need to be that. But boy, you better have the ring psychology down. And you better have your pacing down. And your opponents better understand what your pacing is. Junkyard Dog drew lots of money. And from every interview I have ever heard with anyone who worked with him, they have all said the same thing. Great guy, loved working with him, nice as he could possibly be, not a good wrestler, not a good guy to work with, because he had nothing. You had to supply everything. But boy, the fans loved him. And that's really all that counted. And he drew big. And as long as he was drawing big, the promoters were like, yeah, man, show me the money. I don't want to hear any complaints that he's not doing much. I don't want to hear any complaints he's not carrying his end of the match. Go out there and do your job, man. Make him look like $1 million because these fans are eating him up. That's the way pro wrestling works. It's literally an entertainment organization, and that's the business. Anybody think Steven Seagal is going to win an Academy Award for his acting ability? No. And I guarantee you that when he was under siege with Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey, they both said the same thing. Who the hell is this guy? He can't act at all. It's embarrassing. But guess who got top billing? Steven Seagal. You know why? Because then he was real hot. He was box office gold. You put Steven Seagal's name on, people are coming to the movie. So he gets top billing. Not Tommy Lee Jones, who has won an Academy Award. Not Gary Busey, who I believe also has won an Academy Award. No, no, they weren't getting top billing. Why do you think that might be? So once again, Mike, I mean, I know people are going to get angry, but you got to tell them the truth. And the truth is pro wrestling is a business. It's not a sport. And the business is about making money.
Right.
And the way you make money is get the fans in. And the only way you get the fans in is if there's wrestlers they care about.
Right. And that's the thing. How do you get the – I mean, look, let's look at the Blade Runners, right? Sting and Rock, which is Sting and, of course, the Ultimate Warrior, right? They both went on
right.
to have big careers. They were both, in their own ways, very marketable, right? In fact, Sting became basically the franchise of WCW, right? So,
yes.
So you got – and Sting – even though we disagree with it, we can see why the AEW has brought Sting in, because Sting, even at his late age, even after his injuries, can still draw.
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's exactly why they brought him in, Mike. You can say what you want, but the bottom line is they know they're not going to get a lot out of Sting in a wrestling ring. But they know they're going to get a lot out of him in marketability. They're probably paying him more than they're paying guys who are busting their ass every single night. Well, not every night because they're not on there every night, but every single show. And he's getting paid more to just walk out and look menacing in his crow outfit. You know why? Because that's marketable. So that's a good point, Mike. Yeah, that's why they signed him.
Yep. And look, as far as marketing and stuff, and the definition of marketable can change on a dime. I give you a good example in the music business is Hart. Throughout the 70s, Hart was very marketable. They wrote good songs and they did this, but when MTV came around and image was everything on MTV. Well, they started Ann Wilson because she was overweight and, you know, maybe didn't look as good as some of the other girls in the band, but she was overweight. Well, they deemed that wasn't marketable enough to be on MTV, right?
Right.
It's all about marketing.
And I'll tell you another good example so people don't think it's sexist. The Blues Travelers. Before anybody knew what the Blues Travelers looked like, they had a big hit. When they found out that the lead singer was a pretty fat guy and probably not so marketable, they started to cut him out of music videos or only show his face because they knew if they showed the rest of his body, people would say, oh, that's just some big fat guy. And they didn't think they could market that. So they started cutting him out. And eventually the record companies dropped him because they said, well, you're just not marketable enough. So there you go. This was a guy who had a top 40 hit. And he's still not marketable enough because he doesn't look that way. Now, a guy like Meatloaf was able to do it because no matter that he was heavy, he was very unusual in the way he dressed and the way he sang and the way he looked, and he was still marketable. So they could do that. But that's rare. You very seldom see tremendously overweight entertainers in the music business that are really, really, really successful. You very seldom see it. Just doesn't happen that much. You also don't see a lot of people that you say, oh, my God, that looks like my old high school teacher. And you also don't see tremendously old people for that reason because they don't think they can market tremendously old people. Now, a lot of this is USA-based, I'll admit it, because if you go to Germany in the music scene, you see people who are 60, 65 years old and are still in the music business and still doing okay. And there are some people here that can still draw, the Rolling Stones and Alice Cooper and people like that who are in their 60s and 70s who can still draw, but you don't hear them on the radio much when they put out new stuff and things. You don't hear it. You hear their old stuff. They don't market them anymore because they say, oh, well, the kids ain't going to buy it. You're older than their father. Kids ain't going to buy it. It's marketed to the youth. Because the youth spends the most money on CDs and downloads and things. That's just the way it is. So that's how they market them. Well, professional wrestling does the same thing, because at the end of the day, it's not about winning and losing like you did with sports teams. The New York Yankees, the you know, the Knicks, the Rangers, the whatever you want to, any sports franchise you want to name, the bottom line to them is winning, to have the most wins they possibly can get. We don't care what the goalie looks like. We don't care what the quarterback looks like. We don't care what our cleanup hitter looks like. It doesn't matter as long as they perform. That's not the case in professional wrestling. Professional wrestling has more in common with acting or music than it does any kind of sport, in the sense that you have to be marketable. Your image has to be marketable. Now, Kevin Owens, his image wasn't marketable as far as his body structure, but he was so good on the mic that you could market him as that guy, and people like, yeah, I like that guy. He's cool. That's good enough to market. If you can do that, then fine. If you can be that cool character that people like, that's fine. Was Roddy Piper a great, great, great technical wrestler? I never saw it, and I watched many of his matches. And it consisted of punch, 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 eye gouge, eye poke, body slam, choke, couple of knees. I didn't see any great chain wrestling or high flying. But what I saw is a guy who could ignite a crowd, just ignite a crowd, and was marketable as all hell. So he was a top guy, wasn't he? To be perfectly honest, professional wrestlers themselves will tell you, out of Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, they thought Jannetty was the better wrestler. Now, we could argue that, but that's what a lot of wrestlers say who worked with them both. But Jannetty was not marketable. Not as marketable as Shawn. Shawn had that charisma. And they realized, listen, Shawn's only going to get better in the ring. He's marketable now. Let's run with that one. Out of the two, let's run with that one. And that's what they did. And they were right to do it because it worked out. Now, if Marty Jannetty was so marketable, how come he didn't go to another federation and light it up? Because he wasn't that marketable. The WWE was right. So, Todd, there's a perfect example of how marketability counts.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels was more money-making for merchandise and everything, and then Jannetty was. He got over more out of the two, and everybody thought he was a better wrestler out of the two.
Yeah, a lot of the wrestlers said that. Yeah, a lot of the wrestlers said that. So it's just interesting. A new breed of fans is coming along, and this new breed of fans, at, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, say, I know everything. I don't need to learn anything. I know everything. I know that the greatest wrestler in the world is Kenny Omega, and Bray Wyatt's overrated. Well, I got news. Put Bray Wyatt side by side with Kenny Omega in an autograph signing session. See how many people's in each line. See how many people. Charging the same amount for autographs. See how many people. Bray Wyatt will be twice, maybe three times as much. Because he's more famous. Because he's more marketable. Kenny Omega is probably a better athlete. I'll give you that. Doesn't matter. He's not as marketable. So there you go. There are a lot of wrestlers who went on to great success, by the way, who said, I cut 90% of my moveset out. Because they didn't want me to be that good. They didn't want me to have those kind of moves. They said, well, you're not supposed to be able to wrestle like this. Skinner was one. Steve Kern was a fantastic wrestler. Fantastic. No pun intended. And when he became Skinner, he started to use some of those moves, and Vince McMahon said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be some guy out of the Florida Everglades who hunts alligators and stuff. How the hell are you supposed to be, you know, have collegiate wrestling moves and things? You got to stop. You can't use those type of moves. And Steve Kern said, so I thought about it and said, yeah, you know, he's right, I guess. I shouldn't be able to use these type of moves. So I'll just do these basic things, and I'll do that gator roll that Luke Harper used to do, and I'll bite and kick and scratch and punch and just be this, you know, that guy. Yeah. So how do you know that Bray Wyatt can't cut loose and do all kinds of things? But he's being told, well, you're the Fiend. The Fiend isn't supposed to be able to do this. And Bray Wyatt, the cult leader, how is he supposed to know all these fancy wrestling moves? What did he do, go to wrestling college while he's up there, you know, in the Ozarks? Doesn't make sense. So don't do it because it'll look stupid, just like they did to Steve Kern when he's playing Skinner. So you don't know what these guys can do, Mike, because a lot of times they're being told, no, play your character.
Right, and that's the thing. We've made points about people that have come up from NXT, right? And if you watch them in NXT and you watch them on the main roster and you say, okay, this guy on NXT or gal on NXT can do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and they're not being allowed to, well, there you go. You know, I mean, think about it. You've seen Keith Lee on the indies do whatever he, a lot of things that he, that we've never seen him do on the big roster, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So I mean, look, I made the big deal about how good an athlete Vader was, you know? Well, I think, in some respects, Keith Lee is an even better athlete at that size than Vader was, right? So,
yeah,
but they're not allowing Keith Lee. Yeah, Keith Lee's sick right now, but might be sick possibly right now. But when he's back, you know, I mean, they ought to allow him to do some of this stuff. But then again, you don't expect the guy to be able to do that. I mean, some of that stuff that Luke Harper was doing, you know, the suicide dives and other things like that, you don't expect a 290-pound, 285-pound guy to do that. Same thing for his ex-partner, Rowan. You don't expect him to be able to do flippity-floppity moves and come off the top rope and do this type of stuff. But apparently Rowan can do some of that stuff at his weight, you know?
Yeah, and look, there's sometimes when the WWE will handcuff you because they think it's too dangerous or they don't want you to get hurt, and they say, look, you're too valuable. We don't want you to do something crazy that maybe you did on the indies, and if you crashed and burned, you took a month off, no big deal. We can't afford that, so you can't do it. That's a little different. But then sometimes they just say, well, this is not your character. Your character wouldn't know this move. Your character wouldn't do this move. So don't do it because it's not within your character to do it. So there's a difference sometimes. So would it make sense for the Fiend? I'm pretty sure that if Bray Wyatt wanted to do it, he could probably do a head scissor flip. Would it make sense for the Fiend to do a head scissor flip? It wouldn't. Would it make sense for the Fiend to do arm drag takedowns, submission holds? No, it wouldn't. In fact, it would look stupid. It would undermine the character. He's not supposed to do anything like that. He's supposed to beat and stomp and bite and destroy you. That's all he's supposed to do. Anything else, he looks foolish. He can do the Sister Abigail and stuff, but I don't want to see him doing reverse chin locks and you know, body scissors and we had this debate before. People are like, well, pro wrestling makes pro wrestling look phony. Well, let me tell you what else makes pro wrestling look phony. Try to take a man's head and shove it into a turnbuckle 10 times when he doesn't want it to go. It won't happen. And if he is so hurt that he can't prevent you from running his head into a buckle 10 times, he wouldn't be able to stand on his feet because he'd have to be almost unconscious. So that's dumb. It's a move that would never happen. It's a move you could not do. It is no way, shape, or form based on anything realistic. It's silly. but we accept it. Also being whipped to the ropes. If you're so hurt you can't prevent a man from throwing you into the ropes, how is it that you always are able to turn your back and hit it back first? Wouldn't you hit its stomach first? Because you're so dazed, you don't know where you're going. If I legitimately push you as hard as I can into the ropes, you're going to hit its stomach first because you're going to be shocked that I'm pushing you into the ropes, and you're going to be stumble forward, or you're going to just fall down. You're not going to hit it back first, spring off it in perfect form. You're not going to do that. That's silly. Either you're so hurt that when I go to whip you, you're just going to fall, or you're going to hit its stomach first or chest first. So that's stupid. And that would never happen. And we accept that all the time. There are many, 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 many things in pro wrestling that's phony and look phony. And that anyone who's ever really wrestled in their life or had any sort of combat sport training would say, well, that's just ridiculous. You could never do that. Is it realistic that you could punch somebody dead flat flush in the face and you're 300 pounds and they get up in 2 seconds? Or you could take your legs, jump in the air, and hit a man as hard as you can with a drop kick in the jaw. Number one, it would break your jaw. You know how strong your legs are? If not your neck, you'd be out like a light. How come a kick, such as an Aleister Black kick, can knock you out, but a drop kick with both of your legs, dead flat in the face, does nothing? That's just a warm-up move. There's a ton of pro wrestling that makes no sense that we accept because we have to as fans. It's an illusion. So I think we got to ease up a little bit on, well, this makes wrestling look phony. A lot of this makes wrestling look phony. You think that super kick party don't make wrestling look phony? You think when 7 guys are standing outside the ring, supposedly all fighting, and they turn around and see a guy climbing the buckle and are all like, I wonder what he's doing up there. I think we better stretch our arms out in case he jumps. Why don't they all just scatter? No, we'll all stand here and go down like bowling pins. Yeah, that looks real. That's as phony as can be. That makes wrestling look phony. So before you judge, well, setting a guy on fire makes it look phony, well, they buried people alive. They supposedly killed Paul Bearer and put cement in the box and killed him, right? So please, and you all accepted that. Lightning struck. Remember that? Lightning in a building with a roof. Building had a roof, but lightning struck. Came right through the roof, did it? You all accepted that. So before you're too quick to judge and say, well, that makes wrestling look phony, well, you're watching a phony sport that's not really a sport. It's an entertainment thing. They're not really fighting. And because they're not really fighting, they're actors. They're pretending to fight. You know what happens when you're playing a character you really aren't? That's an actor. That's what an actor does. That's not what an athlete does. First baseman for your favorite team doesn't act like he's somebody else. The goalie for your favorite hockey team doesn't act like he's somebody else and calls himself a different name. I don't call myself Super Goalie. I don't call myself the masked first baseman from Parts Unknown. We don't do that. So there you go, folks. I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but when fans start to get out of control with this nonsense and say ridiculous things, like, oh, Bray Wyatt sucks, yeah, he sucks. You were the same people saying Roman Reigns sucks, and now you're eating it up alive. Or Daniel Bryan, who you all loved, by the way. Daniel Bryan's the greatest thing ever. Now he's added to a match, and oh, he's going to spoil it. He's going to spoil it with a 50-year-old man and a guy who just got out of treatment for leukemia or whatever the hell he had, cancer. Come on, folks. You have the right to your opinion, but you don't have the right to just say ridiculous things and they're not true. Learn the business. Then you'll understand it better. Then when you have a criticism, it means something. If you've never, ever played the guitar in your life, you can't say somebody's a terrible guitar player. I mean, you can say I don't like it, but you can't judge what the skill level is because you don't know. So if you say I don't particularly like Bray Wyatt as a wrestler, that's fair. To say no, he's overrated, that's not fair. You don't know. You have no idea what the skill level it takes to do that. That's why when I don't like, and I am a guitar player, and I am a musician, I never say a band sucks. I just say I don't like them. There's plenty of very talented bands. I just don't like their music. It's not that I don't think they're talented. It's just I don't like it. It's not my taste. I'm sure it's very talented. I know what it takes to do that. I know it's not easy to play. I don't like it. That's a fair criticism. So if you don't like Bray Wyatt, fine. Then you can say, that's not my taste. If you don't like those supernatural angles, you say, that's not my taste. I respect that 100%. I do not respect saying, he's terrible, and if you don't believe it, then you're an idiot. No. You're an idiot because you don't know the business. If he's terrible, how come he's main eventing all the time? If he's terrible, how come he's selling the most merchandise? If he's terrible, how come that action figure flew off the shelf as the number one action figure this year? Everybody had to have the Fiend. Because it's marketable. That's why. A guy like Andrade, who's a great wrestler, and I loved Andrade. I thought he had the best match I've ever seen, I think, really, with Johnny Gargano. He's not marketable. They tried. We don't know how to market him. We've tried, and we don't know how. So it doesn't matter how good he is. We don't see him as marketable. We don't see him as being able to earn money. What's always the thing that they say when Vince McMahon decides he doesn't really have any faith in a wrestler anymore? The phrase is, he doesn't see any money in him. Not that he doesn't see any skill in him. Doesn't see any money. The difference, Todd, the money is the main factor.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about Andretti and everything. Good athlete, but not money-making markable. Like a couple other guys, too. A lot of to name.
There's a ton of them that, unfortunately, you know, while they may be very good at what they do, Mike, there isn't really any money in them because they aren't marketable.
Right. Right, and it cuts across gender lines as well. Think about it. How marketable is Nia Jax? You know, her cousin is The Rock or whatever it is, but how marketable is she? She's not marketable like, I don't know, Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch or I could name even some of the lesser ones, you know, Dana Brooke or somebody like that. They are very marketable, whereas people like Nia Jax and others that just aren't marketable, and to use the term they used to use, they're not best for business.
Right, and then there are some that you just scratch your head because you say, well, they could be marketable, like Ruby Riott. How is she not marketable? You could market her to the, you know, punk rock crowd and the alternative crowd, and I don't know how she's not marketable. She's not marketable because you've decided you don't want to market her, but that doesn't make her non-marketable. That just makes you short-sighted. So that's when you can criticize the WWE, and you can say, how is that not marketable? You're making a mistake. Then that's a fair criticism because you can look at it from the business standpoint. You should be looking at it as a fan and say, but wait a minute, she's a pretty good wrestler, and she's very marketable. So now you don't have an excuse not to use her. So I'm stumped as to why you won't. That's very fair. But if you look at somebody that you know, can barely draw a crowd in a, you know, supermarket if she walks in, you're not going to be able to market her. It doesn't matter how good of a wrestler she is. It's just not going to work. I think that's what they thought about Sarah Logan. I think they had made a mistake, but I think they looked at Sarah Logan and said, ah, she's just too plain Jane. She's not marketable. And I think the plain Jane thing would have worked. But they didn't. So that's just a difference of opinion. If I were a promoter, I think she's marketable, and I would have tried. They did not think so, but and that's fair. It's their business. But what I'm trying to tell the fans are, if you really are a fan, you have to look at the business of professional wrestling as what it is. Don't look at it as a sport, because it's not. Just look at it as like your favorite TV show. You may not like a character on the TV show, and that's fair. But you don't automatically say, well, they suck. They're just a character on a TV show. You don't know. I'll give you a great example. David Arquette. Now, you know what he did in the world of professional wrestling, and that was an outrage and stupid, and I agree. But I have never watched a David Arquette movie in my life that he didn't act like some goofy 16-year-old when he's 40. And I hated David Arquette. And I said, he's not even a good actor. He's just some goofy guy who acts like he's 16 and he's 40. It's just dumb. And then I saw a movie called The Gray Zone, where he was a Jewish guy in a concentration camp. And he was fabulous. And I said, Jesus, if he can act like this, how come he doesn't? He was fine. He was excellent. And then I began to realize, but he's not marketable this way. That's not the way the studios see his fan base. They see, oh, his fan base, he has to be goofy and irreverent and act like an idiot. And then fans will come to see him. They like that. So that's how they market him. And that's the only roles he gets, because they figure, well, that's money. David Arquette acting like a goofball. And people will come see it. Well, I got news. It opened my eyes. And I said, look what this guy is capable of. Well, it's the same way with wrestling. You don't know what these guys are capable of. If tomorrow Bray Wyatt's character changed into, I fell off a scaffold and now I think I'm a college collegiate athlete wrestler, you might see him do all kinds of moves. You say, well, I didn't know he could do that. I had no idea he could do that. Yeah, because the character didn't call for it. I remember a guy watching a Fleetwood Mac concert who was a heavy metal dude. Said, I don't like him. Hippy-dippy crapola. And I said, wait till you see who this guy cut loose with the guitar. He doesn't do it on the album because the song doesn't call for it. But at concert, he usually cuts loose with a lead. Well, when he cut loose with a lead, this guy's jaw dropped. And he said, I never had any idea he was that good of a guitar player. Never shows it on the album. Never shows it on the CD. I've never heard a song where he does that. Yeah, because he doesn't, because the song doesn't need it. Doesn't mean can't do it. He's in a band that doesn't require that. So he doesn't do it. Doesn't mean he can't. Just means he doesn't. Well, that's the same way with wrestling. You don't know what these guys can do. If tomorrow CM Punk wasn't such a little bitch and was saying, I'll do whatever wrestling character you want me to do, and he comes back as a mummy, he's not going to do all these moves. And he's not going to do all these things on the microphone. He's going to be a mummy. And he's going to come out with his hands up, and he's just going to headbutt you and choke you, and that's all he's going to do, because that's what the character calls for. But you don't know what they can do, Mike, if they're allowed to cut loose.
Right, and think about this. We talk about Aaron Rex all the time, a lot. We've talked about him a lot, right? Especially when he was in the WWE. Or Aaron Stevens. Let's call him Aaron Stevens, all right? And basically, at the beginning of that show that I watched, that was the return for the NWA, what he said basically is, throughout my career, I've been given crap, and I've sold it. I became marketable. Basically, that's what he said. And
yes.
And he tells the truth. He's a guy that if they wanted him to be, he could have been very – and when he was doing the whole imitating the Miz thing, that was a very marketable thing. He was marketable at that point.
Definitely given crap, but Damien Sandow wasn't crap. Damien Sandow was a good character, and they should have just kept it. That was the WWE's fault. Now, in the chat room, Derek's saying, look at Bayley. She could have been the female John Cena, and they blew it. Yes, I agree. That's what Mike was saying. Yeah. She was extremely marketable, and they just didn't market her. Sometimes it is the WWE's fault. I'm not sticking up for the WWE. They have plenty of marketable people. They won't market them. I don't know why. Because they're idiots or they're short-sighted or whatever. But at the end of the day, fans can complain about that, and that's legit. But you can't sit here and tell me that a marketable character who's doing well and making them money is overrated. Well, he's not overrated to them because they're raking it in, my friend, off of his back. They're raking it in. And they're not raking it in from people who say he sucks because you wouldn't buy his merchandise if you thought he sucked. Ratings wouldn't go up when he's on the air. So you're in the minority. Marketability is the key to professional wrestling. It's the key to any entertainment, any entertainment. How much can we market what you do? How much of the masses will buy what you do? That's it. Anyone who says otherwise is wrong. And I don't care if it's a wrestler or a fan. Marketability in professional wrestling is everything. Then if you have great talent, that would be great. That'd be awesome. But it's not required. Simple as that. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We will be back here on Tuesday with a Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.